is 3:18 p.m. We're calling the House Labor and Commerce Committee to order at 3:18 p.m. We're on Monday, May 8th, 2017. Please turn off your cell phones, turn them to silent so we don't interrupt our presenters. Members present are Representative Knopp, Representative Birch, Representative Josephson, and myself, Chair Keto. We do have a quorum to conduct business. We will not be moving any pieces of legislation today. We are going to have an initial hearing on House Bill 180, Money Service Businesses, Requirements and Licensing, and we intend to hear and hold the bill. We do have Mary Aperzik-Schlosser, staff to Representative Fansler, ready to present the bill. If you want to come forward, place your name and affiliation on the record. We also have Patrice Walsh with the Division of Banking and Securities available to answer any questions. So, Ms. Schlosser, if you want to go ahead and begin. Oh, we've been joined by Representative Sullivan Leonard as well.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Thank you for taking the time to listen to HB 180, Alaska Money Services Act. My name is Mary Aperzik-Schlosser, staff Representative Fansler, and the representative sincerely apologizes for his absence today. So, fortunately, you're left with little of me. Today, I just want to give a little overview of HB 80 and
HB 180.
180, excuse me, thank you, Mr. Chair. This bill amends the Alaska Money Services Act. This act provides legal framework for currency exchange and money transmission functions, including current transfer of money, loading and reloading of payment instruments, including stored value cards. When this act was passed in 2007, we did not contemplate virtual or cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin or Venmo, or the rate of money services business expansion. This bill updates licensing, record keeping, and enforcement provisions designed to support legal marketplace and deter illegal behavior. These changes better support rural Alaska-based money services businesses by removing the licensing discount for outside firms. Current law allows applicants in another state to submit minimum information and pay only half the initial fee. So they pay a total of $500, whereas an in-state business pays $1,000. This bill also encourages business expansion by replacing the $25,000 net worth requirement with a surety bond for the same amount, up to $1 million, and adds greater consumer protection with the surety bond coverage. It also assists rural Alaskans by simplifying the process for a license to contract with other licensees to reload rural-issued prepaid cards. I'm not going to go through the entire PowerPoint slide, but if you get to the back page, of your slide, it kind of shows the current structure of treatment of subdelegates. Where a Alaska company has to go through every single subdelegate, being like Fred Meyer or Walgreens or Safeway. This is the current setup. And if you go to the next slide, it streamlines the process and allows a contract with the national company like Western Union flow into their subdelegates like Fred Meyer, Walgreens, and Safeway, which adds greater access, for rural Alaskans coming into Anchorage in particular. This also broadens the definition of money services to include the new virtual currency transactions and other methods of moving or transferring money to better protect Alaskans against fraud. It adds criminal background check for all control persons, requires licensee to comply with federal laws, including suspicious activity reports, increases record retention from 3 to 5 years for greater transparency, updates enforcement provisions by allowing for more orders to be issued, requires license report sales for calculations of license fees and assessments to assure state costs are covered, and requires registration in the nationwide multi-state system registry for filing documents and paying fees, and that is currently used by over 90% of money services businesses in other states. Currently, we have 87 businesses registered in the state of Alaska for money services, and we're thinking that that will increase over the next few years. Three of those 87 are Alaska-grown companies. And with that, Mr. Chair, I and Patrice are available for questions.
Okay, thank you. Any questions, Representative Birch?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's a little unclear to exactly what problem is this solving.
So there's a few. This is kind of a cleanup bill.
What can you do when this is passed that you can't do today?
Well, it increases consumer protection, both with the surety bond and with regulations that increase transparency, like record retention. It adds a criminal background check for control persons. It requires alignment with federal law and allows us to use a nationwide multi-system registry, which has 90% of businesses registered, so we can get their information more readily. It also expands the definition, through the chair, Representative Birch, also expands the definition of money services to include the virtual money transfer businesses.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Mr.
Representative Knopp.
So, thank you, Mr. Chairman. So who contracts with the multi-state agency? Is it us as a state, or is it the individual stores? Are we having to enter into a contract, and it costs us to administer this, or what?
Mr. Chair, Representative Knopp, the contracts are with each other. So when money services business would contract with, say, Western Union, and Western Union would reload. So I'm going to use Quayana Card. It's a business in Nome, Alaska. They could contract with Western Union once this law is passed, and then their contract will be valid with the subdelegates, such as Fred Meyer, Walgreens, Safeway, within the state. So it gives folks with those reloadable cards greater access to goods and services when they're coming from other parts of the state with said prepaid card. It's not setting up an entire banking service, but it's getting them a little bit closer, since there's not a lot of banks set up in rural Alaska, Mr. Chair.
And yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. There is a follow-up question here. I'm trying to formulate it here. So right now, the cards are not using the national company. And so I guess I'm just curious. Now, whenever we do this, as we do, I try to be really, really cautious in understanding the fact that now we're forcing money service businesses to contract with a nationwide company in order to do business in our state. And I'm always careful. Right now, it seems to be working. They're contracting individually with the stores, it looks like, if I understand it. And now they have to go through a national firm. So are we doing that for the purpose of consumer protection, maybe easier for us to monitor and regulate, or are we doing it for the benefit of the nationwide company who's going to do the contract, who's pushing the agenda, I guess, maybe would be fair to say?
Mr. Chair.
Call on the Patrice if you want to as well.
Thanks. Mr. Chair, Representative Knopp, I will preface this by asking Patrice to please correct any missaid statements. But my understanding is this is driven by Alaska business folks. and also driven by an outdated regulatory system around money services. The contracting between a local, say, prepaid card business, they would have to just create one contract with Western Union, because Western Union is supplied in all of those other smaller stores, instead of creating a contract with the delegate Western Union, and then again with each individual store. So this actually streamlines their process, their paperwork, and their time. Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I imagine as we continue hearing down this, we'll probably get to hear from some of them businesses, so that'll be helpful. So,
Representative Knopf, yes, we will have that opportunity. Representative Birch.
So just to walk through this through the chair. So if I've got a cash card, is that basically, so we're talking about a cash card here, right?
Essentially, yes.
So I've got a cash card for, I bought for $100, so I charge it with $100, and the places that I can charge it at are limited to just the national company, and then the card only works at these three stores. I'm kind of asking just because I'm trying to understand how that works. So I write a check to somebody, and they put $100 on a card, and it's the Alaska card, and then currently, I can go use that card at Fred Meyer, Walgreens, or Safeway. Is that the current process?
Mr. Chairman and Representative Birch, the current system has a prepaid card. That business owner has contracts with whomever they choose to contract with. It is to their benefit to have as many contracts out there as possible. This bill will create an easier, streamlined process to use national organizations to carry those contracts down to their what is called sub-delegates. So when a local Alaska card business contracts with a nationwide business, they no longer have to filter down to each individual store. So once they have that national contract, that card is good at all locations that use that national business. Whereas currently, the business owner has to make individual contracts with the delegate and the sub-delegate.
Follow up. It's my understanding that cash cards, I may have read this in Consumer Reports or something, but it's a huge percentage. I want to say like 30% or 20%. I mean, it's a very significant percent of, you know, grandma gives the grandkid a card for $50 someplace and they spend $43 on it, and then the rest of it gets lost to eternity. You know, there's like a $7 balance and that thing gets lost or goes out with the garbage or whatever. Who actually nets back the, you know, when you do a cash card like this, is there a net that goes back into, I mean, who ends up receiving that balance or that unused balance, if you will, at some point down the road, through the chair?
Mr. Chair, Representative Birch, from my understanding, it is that business owner that originally issued the card.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions? Do we have any? Next, let me go ahead and query Ms. Walsh. Ms. Walsh, are you available?
Yes, Chairman Keto, this is Patrice Walsh with the Division of Banking and Securities, and I am a Chief of Examinations here with the Division. And I would be happy to answer any of your questions regarding House Bill 180.
Okay. Thank you. And I do think Representative Birch did have a question, and I think did we get that answered correctly, the obligation for any leftover balances? Is there an obligation, I guess, for a leftover balance, to rephrase the question?
Yes. Excuse me. Representative Birch, through the chair, These prepaid cards are a little different than what you might be aware of with a gift card. A gift card has to be used at a specific store. These prepaid cards are good for any point of sale. And so the money stays on that card, and the business owner is responsible for making sure that money stays on the card. So there's never any expiration. There's never any balance that doesn't get used. It's always available. These prepaid cards are very different than a gift card, which does have those fees.
Thank you, Ms. Walsh. So I guess follow up by Representative Birch.
Yeah, so just trying to clarify. So I know you can get when you take your credit card into some merchants will say, is it a credit or debit? And then there's credit, debit. And so would this effectively be like a cash card, be like a credit card that's got a cash balance that you spend? If somebody's got terrible credit or hasn't established credit yet, that they would basically have something that looks every bit like a credit card, but it just has a balance that you charge it up with periodically?
Through the chair, Representative Birch, these are not like a credit card. It's basically you load an X amount of money onto the card, say $100, and then you would have that amount available at these point of sales. So it's different than a credit where you can actually pay the bill later. This, you can only use what you've put onto the card. So it takes the place of carrying around cash and dealing in cash. So if your card has a balance of $100, then you can go up to $100. If you get to a transaction that's $101, it's not going to let you make that purchase because there's not enough money on the card.
Great. Thank you.
Representative Knopp.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Walsh, so I guess I'm trying to understand, and I'll just really plead ignorant on this line of business. So is this bill really relating to, I'll say, retailers that handle cash cards, like the Fred Meyers, the Walgreens, where you can go in and buy a Visa card, I guess, as a gift card, or when we talk about currency exchange or money businesses, money service businesses. So when I'm overseas, I see money exchangers or currency exchangers on every street corner, and they get a fee for swapping currencies, and it's real popular. You don't see that so much here. So I'm kind of wondering, does it go as far as into banks who swap currency, or what does this regulate exactly?
Through the chair, Representative Knopp. This bill does include currency exchange, but not at the same level as the money transmission. Currency exchange, as you said, it is exchanging one currency, one government currency to another. And we do license currency exchangers that are not affiliated with a bank. But we have very few that are licensed in this state. Our main volume of our licensees are the traditional money transmitters. So if you want to transfer money from one person to another outside of a bank, outside of going to a bank and having that done, these businesses have to hold this money transmitter license. And the industry has changed a lot, and that they offer a lot more services than just the traditional money transfer. So we have these prepaid cards. We also have, like the virtual currency piece. We also have, the cards are used to make payroll. Instead of sending a check to your employees, they give them a prepaid card. So this business of money transmission has expounded, and that's what this bill is about. It's trying to keep up with the changes in the industry and the technology that's available.
Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Sullivan-Leonard.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm looking through the sponsor statement, and a couple things have just kind of come forward that I'm curious about. Okay, first of all, when they talk about the bill providing for the use of nationwide multi-state licensing system and registry, it says that the NMLS allows states to share information about licensed money services businesses activity. And with that, who would be sharing that information, and where would it go?
Through the chair, Representative Sullivan-Leonard, the NMLS is a licensing tool that state regulators from all 50 states have access to. So basically, instead of having a company that wants to be licensed send our division paper applications, they would submit it electronically through the NMLS system. And we, the regulator for Alaska, would get the notice, and we would communicate with them through this NMLS system. It allows other state regulators to also see if that applicant is licensed in other states. In addition to that, you can see if there's been any ramifications of their license. Are they in good standing with those other states? It helps the state regulators be able to see who the good players are and who are the players who have problems with regulatory issues of maybe consumer protection issues like that.
Okay. Follow-up, Mr. Chair?
Follow-up.
Thank you. And then in addition, I was looking through the bill with sections 41 through 44, and it talked about kind of the penalties that may incur for those subdelegates that may not be in compliance. Could you do just a quick overview of the sections of 41, I think it's 41 through 44, that just talks about those companies that may not be in compliance and then also the penalties incurred? I just want to have a more clear understanding of kind of what we're looking at here. Thank you, through the chair.
Through the chair, Representative Sullivan Leonard, that section, those sections were added to include the subdelegate language into the enforcement piece of the bill, just so that they are liable if there's problems dealing with the money that they've collected from a consumer not getting to where it's supposed to go. So that's those were the changes for that section there, is to just incorporate that those subdelegates do have regulatory backup for their actions.
Can I just do one more follow-up? Could you give me an example then, please, of what you would find from a subdelegate that would come to you where you would have to process that in regard to a penalty or what have you? I just want to see how it works kind of through the system.
Through the chair, Representative Sullivan-Leonard, we are not anticipating problems with that, but it does help to protect the consumers. So let's say a person goes up and wants $100 put onto their prepaid card, and this is a subdelegate, and then they go to actually use the card, and the money's not on the card. And so they need to find out why that money isn't accessible. So this helps to make that subdelegate accountable. and then they would be able to go and contact who they purchased their card from and try to find out where that money is.
Pretty simple. Okay, thank you. I'm fine.
Ms. Walsh, I do have a question, too, and this I don't think is related to the bill, but it's a question that always comes up for me in regard to the prepaid cards and cards used as, say, payroll or recipient of other government payments. Mm-hmm. Do we have any law in the state of Alaska that restricts the or caps the fee that can be charged on these kinds of cards?
Chairman Keto, those fees are all regulated by federal law. So there is nothing in state law that would counteract what that federal law has in place at this time.
And can you enlighten me, I guess, on what those limitations in federal law are regarding fees for prepaid cards? Or do you have that information? Is that something you provide to my office?
Chairman Keto, we provided some information to Representative Fansler's office on the card fees at the federal level. So it's pretty involved. I mean, they're separate rules for the gift cards, as we had mentioned, that's not really what this bill encompasses. And then the prepaid cards, is separate. So I don't have that right at my fingertips.
Okay. And perhaps we can get the bill sponsor to provide that information.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you. And Ms. Flusher?
Mr. Chair, it is quite complex, and so there's a lot of information out there. The fees don't have a lot of federal regulation at the moment. It's very broad. It's not very narrow, and there's been some effort to tighten those fee regulations. But just last month, when they were slated to make those changes, like giving a 21-day grace period before getting hit with late fees and things. The Federal Consumer Financial Protection Bureau decided to postpone the new rules for prepaid cards for 6 months, starting April 1st. So another 5 months before we know if those fees can be tightened. They're pretty broad at the moment. It seems like each money services business is able to kind of write their own rules and as far as fees go. Mm-hmm. And so consumers pay a good percentage of in fees and are not really made aware of them. And so the proposed regulation change would make it more transparent, putting it on the website and having a grace period and not targeting low-income consumers, that kind of thing. But that's been put on hold, and according to the administration, to give those money services more time to comply.
Thank you, and I guess I would encourage you also to maybe do some research on what we as a state can do maybe to have some impact in that realm. So I think my concern is, right, the hidden fees that are not disclosed or that people aren't aware of and that they get saddled with without knowledge when they use some of these prepaid instruments. So it is something that I'm watching and concerned about. Do we have any other questions or comments for Ms. Slusher or Ms. Walsh? Seeing none, we will be holding this bill over. We do have another meeting scheduled for Wednesday. We only have bills previously heard, identified, and so maybe a very short meeting, but we are planning on meeting Wednesday. And with that, actually, I'd like to acknowledge our recording secretary Heather Evoy and LIO moderator Tom Raymond and Danaya. Thank you for all being here, and thank you to my staff, Ms. Carpinetti, for putting this meeting together. With that, we will stand adjourned at 3:48 p.m. We'll see everybody Wednesday. Thank you. Thank you.